To the intent that how unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made by the church the manifold wisdom of God, which, to the eternal purpose which he purchased in Christ Jesus. We have fullness and access with confidence by the faith of him. For I, that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of the Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that ye dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus, all ages, world without end. Amen. All right, making some progress. Now we have to go back two more verses next week to verse 6. Okay? So, if you haven't been in Bible quizzing, this will be your first time to memorize the whole chapter. Okay, let's have some prayer. And Bob Buda, lead us in prayer, please.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, I think we have a handout coming sooner or later. Let's turn to two parables in the Bible. First of all, do you have them? Oh, look at that. No, that isn't that. Okay. Tell me, let's see how we're doing. It's not on? No excuses. It's just me. Okay. Two parables in the Bible. By the way, this is a new subject this week. Two parables in the Bible that tell us that we will give account of our money. How many think that the only thing that you'll give account to God for is your tithe? Nobody thinks that? Okay. Do you think anybody thinks that? It's even more than that. Pardon me? He'd give account for everything. Okay? Well, give me two parables in the Bible that tell you're going to give account of your money. Okay? How about this parallel one? Parable of the pounds. Okay, Luke 19. Let's turn there quickly. Verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Wonder who that would be. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto them, Well, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have thou authority over 10 cities. And the same came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, Likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. You can do your job. Oh, you didn't bring my notebook, huh? And he said to him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that which I did not sow. Wherefore then thou gavest not my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Okay, now, in this parable, this would be an appropriate parable for this day. Because of two different things, we have the nobleman going on a far journey. Who would that be? Christ. Okay? Christ gone on a far journey, going to heaven. All right? And we have the command to occupy till he comes. Okay? That refers to right now. And then... he has them give an accounting of that which he gave them over this period of time. And notice the reward. Notice the reward. Verse 17, Thou hast been faithful in the very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. What would that refer to? Millennium. And he gives the answer why they would rule over, yes, this one would rule over 10 cities in the millennium. Why? Because he has been faithful in that which is little. Okay? So this tells us about our accounting before the Lord, and a talent is a certain amount of money, and it also tells us about the reward, okay? And so the person's faithfulness determined during this period of time will be rewarded in the millennial period by having charge of a certain number of cities. Okay? So, okay, thank you very much. I think that's important. Now, if you go to Luke 16, we see a parable that's kind of related to this. You'll see some related language. And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward. A steward is a person who is in charge of his affairs. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, Luke 16:2, How is it that I hear of thee, this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So they're both, what? They're both giving account. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto them, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he unto another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. All right? So he is in charge of this man's affairs. And the boss says, you know, on such and such a date, we're going to have an accounting here. And so the fellow says, well, I better get ready, for I'm going to be out of the job. And while he still has the power as the steward, he calls all the debtors and he says, okay, you know how much you owe? And he says, okay, you pay right now and I can reduce your bill by 50%. That's pretty good, right? And so he does. And it tells us his motivation. His motivation is that as he takes care of all these bills and gives them a deal, okay, what's going to happen afterwards? What are they going to do? They're going to, verse 4, they're going to receive me into their houses. Okay? Oh, man, you saved us, you know, $20,000. Sure, you can stay at our house. No problem. Okay? And so he has a whole list of these people. And so he has all these people who owe him, so to speak, for the rest of his life. And he's got it all figured out. Okay? And so the Lord said, commended the unjust servant because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Quite a statement, isn't it? Okay? Because the children of this world, well, all they can take care of is what? This life. Right? And they took care of this life. Now, children of light have what? Eternal life. And he's basically saying the children of this world are wiser because they take care of what they can take care of. But he says saved people don't really do a good job preparing for what? Eternity. Okay? And he said, this is what the Lord says, verse 9, And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now you think of this in light of the other parable. What was the reward of taking the talents and using them properly? The reward was where? In the millennium, right? Okay? And so he's taking that same principle. He says this is the principle. He that is faithful in that which is the least. And what is the least? Money. Will be also faithful in that which is the greatest. What is the greatest? Spiritual things. Spiritual things. Those are the true riches, right? Those are the ones that last. All right? And so we have two parables of accountability, two parables of the importance of faithfulness in the area of money. All right? Now, I guess we could... So, as we think about the importance of this subject, okay, what does the money represent? Let's just say, what does money represent? Okay, now Paige says money represents time. But what else does money represent? Well, time, yeah, you know, you put 40 hours in and you get a wage, right? Okay, talent, okay, ability. Oh, where do we get that ability from? God. Okay, what else does it represent?
It's a medium of exchange. You can use it to get something else.
Okay, but what does it represent about you?
Priorities.
Okay. How about your character? Does money have anything to do with your character? Okay. Does it have anything to do with and this is related. Does it have anything to do with planning ahead? You know, I asked a guy, we were witnessing to this young person, and I said, we had a great time witnessing to him, I said, what are you studying at Ripon College? He said, anthropology. Oh, and I says, well, what kind of job can you get with that? He says, well, I want to study ancient civilizations. And, of course, I didn't go any further than in that, well, but I went right into the Bible as the number one resource of archaeologists, even if they don't believe the Bible. But my brother graduated from University of Wisconsin in a degree in sociology. You know what the ability to get a job of getting with a degree in sociology is? About 0.5%. pardon me?
Gender study.
Gender study, yeah. So so money represents your foresight, doesn't it? Lots of different things. It represents what you did with your youth, huh. Right? You could just say the multitude of things that money represents, okay? Yeah, certainly it's a medium of exchange, but it represents far more than that. And that's why he uses money as a illustration here. Okay, so I'm not the money expert. Pastor Hatchett is the money expert. And we might have him bring a session on, he's got a famous session on a budget, establishing a budget. But we have a couple principles here. And I thought we would start off with seeing that money is considered the least, yet if we aren't faithful in money, the Bible says that he won't ever entrust us with spiritual riches, spiritual ministry, okay? I'm sure it'd be pretty difficult for a person to ever become a missionary if they didn't know how to spend money. I don't think they'd last long. And I think that a person be hard time pressed to be in the ministry at all if they had trouble with money. Okay, so these are. I thought we would discuss, first of all, principles of spending. Let's look at some verses in the Bible about spending, and then we'll come back. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. Now, introduction to Proverbs. Okay? In Proverbs, we have, let's ask the question, in Proverbs, as a general characteristic, what words are used to describe the saved person who is walking with God? Wise. Righteous. Okay, uses the word diligent. Okay, any others? Just. Okay, just. The prudent. Virtuous. Okay, now, what words are used to describe in general, those who are not walking in the Spirit or possibly unsaved? Wise and versus the what? Righteous versus the what? Wicked, excuse me. Slothful, diligence versus the slothful. Pardon me? Doesn't use that word. Just. I don't know if it uses the word unjust. Does it? Okay. Prudent. Simple. Good. Virtuous. Strange. So, huh?
They use evil. The evil man.
Yes. Yeah, evil. Okay, so we have a black and white book, opposites, right? Okay, so let's think of these words when we think of some of these verses. Proverbs 21:20. Hopefully I'm in the right spot. Proverbs 21:20.
There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. There's treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Well, here's a contrast. The wise man had this wealth, and the foolish man, what could he only think about? Spending it. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Okay? Let's look at some other verses. Proverbs 29:3.
Whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So, sin is pretty expensive, isn't it? And it goes fast. Okay? Let's see. Another verse. Proverbs 21:17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. All right? So, why is a person that loves pleasure going to be poor? What? Okay, he's spending it, his money on extravagant things. Okay, now there's a principle, an important principle that I think is here. Pleasure is expensive. Dave Enderby's not here, but one day I was talking with Dave. I think we had him over for lunch, and he said, "You know, I don't know." He said, "It was this." I kind of paraphrase what he says. You know, the greatest day in my life was when I bought a boat, and the second greatest day is when I sold it. Now, why? Because it's expensive, you know. You know, you buy this boat for, you know, I always think about this. Do you ever hear a person complain about how much money they spent for a snowmobile? Do you ever hear them complain? Never. You never hear them complain, you know.
When there's no snow.
You still don't hear them complaining about how much money they spent on a snowmobile. But go to the farmer's market. And you know, have people, listen to people go buy, you know, vegetables. Oh, too expensive. Too expensive, you know. I remember when Josh and Jonathan, we had the bright idea that they were going to raise vegetables. And we had this big garden, and they did a great job, and they were working all day long taking care of this garden. And then they'd go to, the day before the market, they'd have to pick everything, and they would have to be up till midnight or 1 o'clock, you know, washing this stuff and getting it ready and picking it in the dark, you know, and then be up at 5 o'clock, you know, to go to the market. And then they go to the market, you know, and they put all these hours into raising this good food, and they say, oh, it's too expensive. And I finally realized, you know, people aren't going to complain about how much they spend for a boat, you know. Why? Because it's a luxury. Huh?
Or flowers.
Flowers? Well, they are. Yes. Yeah, it goes fast. Okay, so
Let's go to our sheet here. And just thinking of those different principles. Let's go to Romans 13. Verse 8. Owe no man anything. Now, here's the context. For this cause pay ye tribute, for they are God's ministers. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything. So obviously this verse is talking about more than money, isn't it? It's talking about anything that we owe someone else. He says we ought to pay that. Okay, so included in this would be what you owe someone else. Okay, well let's look at, and we can add to this, but some principles or rules for spending. A, or number one, don't spend on other things that which is needed for a legitimate living expense. Turn to Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your wants according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Shall supply all your needs. Now remember, this is a promise given to those who tithe and who give to missionaries and who put God first in their money. This is not a promise for everybody. You have to take it in the context. Written to the church at Philippi, and they were one of the few churches that took care of Apostle Paul and sent offerings to him, and this is a promise he gave to them. But for any Christian who is living normally, obviously, they can claim this promise. Okay? But it says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So, there is the promise of God's provision for our needs. Okay? What if you spend the money God has provided for your needs on something else? Okay, so you have your paycheck and you know, so much of your paycheck is supposed to be for heat, electricity, rent, whatever. Okay? You know, you have your needs. All right? And so you take that money and you go buy something else with it. What could you buy? What could you go buy? What about a blender? Maybe you could go buy a... Okay, you could go buy clothes. You could, buy, fancy hubcaps for your car. You could buy a boat. Okay, you could buy something that is not a necessity. You took money that God supplied for your needs and you spent it on something that is not a necessity. Unless you have lots of money, you have just violated a huge rule. Just violate a huge rule. You never spend money that God has provided for your needs on anything else. George Mueller said,
If you do that, God will make you get out of that hole by the skin off your back. Okay? So, what do you think of that rule?
Mm-hmm. So you actually get people used to sinning and disobeying Scripture in terms of principles, of God, and then you just have generation after generation of these people in this situation because there's no, you can just get away with it, and it's fine.
Okay, Big Brother doesn't help, does it?
Yeah.
Okay, Big Brother doesn't help. All right? So, okay, that's number one. Don't spend your money on anything else. Don't spend your money that God has provided for your needs on anything else but for your needs. Anything else you buy is sabotage. Anything else you buy really is sin. Because now you're going to blame God, right? You're going to blame, I don't have enough food. Lord, I don't have any food. You know? And we're going to tell our kids, oh, I don't have any food. Well, who's to blame? That's a good question. You know, if we spend it on something we're not supposed to spend it on, let's not blame the wrong person. Yes?
Speaking of that, so what do you do with someone that spends their money foolishly and wastes it on foolish things, and then they're broke and they don't have the basic necessities coming to you to help them?
Obama will. Well, I think the question is, okay, you know, we ought to have mercy, but if they don't want to have any counsel or to change their spending habits, then no. Okay? That's the end of mercy right there. Okay? Number two, don't spend what you don't have or won't have when your bills are due. Don't spend what you don't have or what you won't have when your bills are due. Okay, so this could be a good one for a credit card. Don't spend what you don't have. I got to use a credit card because I don't have it. Okay, but the worst part of it is I'm going to put on a credit card, but when the credit card is due, I won't have it either then. Now you're in trouble, aren't you? Okay? So the credit card can allow a person to spend money that they don't have. All right? Now, you know, businesses know that a credit card is really important. Okay? Your sales are at least 40 to 70% more if you take credit card. Because people can spend more than they have with a credit card. But if you had to pull it out of your pocket, oh, $3. That's it. Okay? So there's another principle. All right, now we'll get back to that one again. Okay, don't buy when you owe money. Now, we're going to say these are general principles. There's, you know, people can make this, kind of manipulate this, but here's the general. Don't buy when you owe money to someone else. Don't spend what you owe someone else. What if you spend the money that you owe someone else? Whose money are you spending? Their money. If you spend somebody else's money, what is that called?
Stealing.
Right? You spend money that legitimately is owed somebody else. You're not spending your money, you're spending their money. Now, that's not good, is it?
Do you have a Bible verse for that?
Owe no man anything. If we owe somebody, then it's theirs. Now, if you're in business, this is how it works. Okay? I grew up in a home, my dad had a business. And he would go work for somebody. And he had interesting customers. A lot of his customers, he billed them once a year. I don't necessarily think that was a good way of doing it, but he would bill somebody and they would owe him so much amount of money. And then, remember, a couple of them would say, well, we can't pay you now because we have a CD in the bank, and if we would pay you, we would lose some interest. So when the CD is due and we get all the interest we have coming to us, then we'll pay you. They were going to gain interest off of his money. And, of course, the big boys do that. If you sell to Walmart, they will say, we want it delivered on such and such a date. We want it there. Okay, you have plant material. We want it there on, 1st of April. And any reorders, we want it within 2 days, but you will not get paid one penny until August 15th. That's a pretty good way of operating on somebody else's money. And so the guy who sells them the material has to borrow money to produce the product and deliver it to Walmart, and then they have it, that product for 4 months and the money for 4 months, and then they pay you. That's a pretty good deal. You pay 8 months interest and they get 8 months, 4, 5, 6 months interest free. And then they have a credit card and then they charge people interest on that credit card. Pretty good scam, isn't it? Okay? Just shows you how our world has become. Who had that? Is that UL? No.
They call that part of the family plan. The auto companies developed that long before Walmart.
Part of the family plan.
Yeah, family plan for suppliers.
Yeah.
You're part of the family.
Oh, yeah, the automakers did that, didn't they? Yeah, part of the family. Okay, my book that's called Cutthroat Financing. Okay, but we live in an unchristian world. Okay, so what do you think about that? Don't buy something when you owe somebody else something. What do you think of that, Wally?
Well, I would even go one step further. When I was raised here, when you bought anything except for a real big ticket item like a car or a house, you wouldn't buy it until you had the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good principle of living, but we're kind of talking about principles that would be a definite right and wrong. You understand what I'm saying? A definite right and wrong. Yes.
Another verse that relates, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. So it says right there.
The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. What's that verse?
I don't know where it is, but it's in there.
Okay, it is in there. Okay, number D. Don't spend your tithe. Okay, here's a good question. How do we know if it is the will of God to buy something or not to buy something? That's a good question. How do I know if it's the will of God to buy something or not to buy something? Man, I tell you what. There is this car. Okay? And, I mean, it is really a nice car. And I need a car. Okay? So, but in the budget plan, my budget, I can only afford $90 a week to put on a car. Okay? But this car is going to be $140 a week. But I tell you what, it's a deal. I mean, it's almost, you know, half price. I mean, it is just amazing. It's good gas mileage. Well, whatever. Okay? But that's second. Okay? But in order to get this car, I am going to have to cut my tithe in half. But you know what? I'm going to be saving $10,000 by this car. Yeah, you could. God might make you crash it, yeah. All right, so what's the principle? If you're going to have to spend your tithe, you know it's not God's will. It doesn't matter how good a deal it is. No matter how great a deal it is, or how wonderful it is, and what a great possibility it is, if you have to spend your tithe, you don't even have to worry about whether it's God's will or not. You automatically know it's not God's will. Okay? And the same principle, if we have to spend money that we owe somebody else, you know, to buy this really good deal, we know, even though, you know, we're tempted because it's such a good deal, we know that it's not God's will. Why? Because we're not spending our money. We're spending somebody else's money. That's called stealing. Of course, today it's called pragmatism. Yes?
Well, what if you're planning on, okay, to have this car make this payment, so I'll get a second job?
You get a second job? You're still violating the principle. You're going to spend money. You're going to spend God's money for money that you don't yet have, but you hope to have. You don't have the job yet.
Well, because when you said that
you're... Yeah, but you don't have the job yet.
If we were going to buy the property for church, you said, well, if I have to, I'll get a second job.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wasn't going to stop giving my tithe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would say, oh, I'm going to use this for
that. Yeah, but, yeah, but they do. I wouldn't be so nice to say, oh, but yeah, people definitely decide to spend their tithe. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Another thing is we're not promised it tomorrow, so if we go off and, you know, let's say, you know, $140 a month for a car, you know, and you're buying it from someone.
$140 a month?
A month.
A week? A week. Okay. E, only spend on pleasure when your duties are fulfilled. Only spend on pleasure when your duties are fulfilled. Past, present, and future. Well, I got $140 this week. I'm just going to go blow it. Well, next week or 2 weeks from now, there's a big bill coming up. And if you spend $140 that you have this week, when the big bill comes up, you won't have it. But, you know, today you got it. Right? Today you got it. okay? It's burning a hole in your pocket, right? Okay, so obligations, past, present, and future, first before pleasure. What does the human nature say? The human nature says, I've got to have fun. And I got to have it right now. And this is my chance. Right now. You know what I'm saying? And so, I'm going to do it. Okay? So what does money say about our character? A lot, doesn't it? Okay? Yes, Wally? What about them?
Well,
you can't spend it when you're dead.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, you look at the problem.
Save it for somebody else to spend it. No, but at the same time, you still have to. We all still have to give account to God. That's between us and the Lord. But it's not wrong to. You know, it's not wrong to go fishing. Huh? As long as you let anybody gets married use it for their honeymoon car, you know. Okay. F. Spending money on sin is very expensive. How long did it take the prodigal son's father to earn all that he had? A lifetime. How long did it take for him to spend it? Short period of time. So, very simple principle. We have to close. Time's up. Okay? Spending. I never forget, Mr. Tesh was a member of our church, and he's told me one day, he says, my dad told me, it's never a problem of income, it's always a problem of spending. Now, that may not be 100% accurate, but it's a pretty good principle. Lord, pray bless the day that you've given us. And these principles from God's Word, may they be a help as we seek to live by your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.